right?
Well, let's see if Dr. Atlanta, can you hear us now?
Yes, I heard you before, and I can hear you now.
Oh, and now we can hear you. Yay.
We can hear you now.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. We're so excited
to
have
you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
And for our listeners, this is Dr. Atlanta Fishman, and you are the founder and president of the National Grassroots Movement, No Left Turn in Education. So welcome, and would you please tell us what the organization is about and how we can help out?
Our organization is a national grassroots organization of common sense people. And I'm emphasizing common sense because those are people who know right from wrong. It's not about right and left. It's about right and wrong. And we are, in fact, the first national organization, probably the first group that stood up and decided what's going on in our school is very wrong and is not doing service, not to our children, not to families, communities, and definitely not to our nation.
Wow. And you are involved in the CRT?
When I launched the movement, you got to understand, we knew nothing, really. I've never heard any of these terms, not CRT or any other euphemism that they are using to camouflage the concept that they're teaching in schools. And there are others as well. But when I launched a movement back in at the end of August 2020, I began a very steep learning curve to understand what's going on. A stay-at-home mom for many years, I said goodbye to my career as I started family in life and became devoted to raising three boys. But these occurrences of the very violent summer of 2020 definitely alarmed me and a lot of people, but people were afraid to speak up. And when I stood up and started speaking up and investigating what's going on in the school, I right away realized that we are talking about several issues that are definitely interrelated and became, in fact, one. They addressed the issue of the racial issue, the issue of sexuality, the 1619, as well as the whole thing of math and science. And already from the very beginning, I addressed all these issues where I understand that people were just waking up and looking at what became to be known under the big title of CRT.
Well, you know, and in many instances, especially in the less fortunate communities or communities of color, the children, especially like with LAUSD, which is almost, 70% Hispanic, that the indoctrination that goes on, it really especially prior to the COVID shutdowns, has gone really unnoticed, unchallenged, and has been totally under the radar. And, you know, parents are turning around and all of a sudden their kids are no longer in the same mindset when they first put them in school. So how have you dealt with the indoctrination in some of the schools that predominantly aren't in the spotlight?
You know, that's really unfortunate that in every aspect of our social fabric and social programs, those are usually the first population to be suffering. And I'm by training, I'm a social worker. My bachelor, master's, and doctorate are all in social work. And my specialty is child welfare. And when you look at the various programs on the educational side as well as the social services, this population are the first victims, including when you look again, as I say, we are going to use the term CRT for convenience. Although, as we all know, this is really an academic discipline, or it's a theory that was evolved in law schools and universities in the 80s. But what we are seeing now is the application of this theory in our schools. And usually those schools are the schools with the marginalized population or minority population are the schools that are usually trapped by the teachers' union. They don't allow them to get the best education. They don't allow the kids in the school to get the best education. And that's a significantly the problem that we are seeing when they are bringing all this indoctrination to those schools. The kids are trapped. They don't have a choice to go to the best school and to get the best education. And in addition, many times in those communities, we have parents who do not speak well English, or some of them don't even speak at all English. And they are like parents who even do speak English well, have had almost like unconditional or blind trust in the education system. None of us, including myself, would have thought that the school board that's supposed to represent the community is actually going to work against the values and the beliefs of the people who live in the community. So it is very unfortunate that they are getting hit even worse. The worst victim of this kind of indoctrination are the poor communities, where they have also, by and large, poor schools.
Well, you know, we've heard for decades that how, you know, the schools want the parents to become more involved and more engaged and, you know, show up at PTA night and get in, you know, see what your kid is learning in class and help them with the homework. And so the past 2 years, parents are getting involved, and now you have calls for them to be labeled as domestic terrorists. And so, you know,
that's because they're not getting involved the right way, David.
Exactly. That's very interesting, because we also assume that PTA stands for Parent Teachers Association. In fact, all those groups are actually at the service of the teachers' union.
Yep. Right.
When they do, absolutely, there were some articles that exposed the fact that the money that is collected by the PTAs doesn't really go to the advancement of the schools or the students. It goes, a lot of it, or most of it, in fact, goes to the teachers' union. It's more of a teacher association, not a parent-teacher association. Right. Most of them, if you look what they do around the country, what do? They have bake sales. They have Christmas wrapping paper sales. And where does the money go? What are they doing really to improve the education in the school? And this is really a fact, that when you go and look at all the schools around the country and where the PTAs are putting their efforts and where the money is going that they are collecting from parents, it's not going for the schools. So they definitely wanted to use the parents in all those activities, yeah, to have the teachers' appreciation week and gift for the teacher. And it used to be a father's and daughter's dance or whatever other little small, social events for the kids. But the great bulk of the money went definitely to
Teachers union. Well, you know,
teachers unions, absolutely.
We have here in California right now, there is an initiative for school choice. And so they're in the process of collecting signatures to qualify it for the ballot. And, there are a lot of individuals that are for it.
A lot that are against it.
Yeah, and a lot that are against it. And a lot of them are, you know, are doing things to kind of sabotage it or to, you know, slow down the signature gathering. And it's so many parents have taken their kids out of public school. And I think we have one here with us.
You know,
Daniela.
I was just wondering, what is the pushback? Why not have children? Why they follow the child so parents can choose what's the appropriate education for them? What is the threat here?
They're losing power. They're losing money. The budget of the teachers' union, because they know they need to compete in the market. To have a school choice is basically, offering choices for parents. To actually go and choose for their kids the best education that they believe their kids would benefit from. But in that way, they know that they need to compete in the market. They don't want to compete in the market. They have a monopoly. Mm-hmm. Who wants to give up their monopoly? In fact, that's one of our goals in our movement, to obviously get the parents to get back into the role that they have to have. And when the Department of Education was instituted in 1979, it said there specifically that the parents have the primary responsibility for the education of their children, and the state and localities and private institutions have the primary responsibility to support the parents. But now they completely push the parents out of the equation. And going back to your previous question, they are not only that they are not let them participate, they are, there's no transparency at all in what they are doing. I don't know if you're aware that the Secretary of Education under Obama, which I'm blanking now on his name, was pushing for what they call community school, which basically says, give us your kid from 7 to 7. We'll feed them, we'll take care of their health care, we'll do everything for them.
And we'll return you a socialist.
Yeah. And you won't know who your kid is when they come home.
Yeah.
That's right. Why did I give birth to the child? Mm-hmm. Because I did not want to raise that child, because I wanted the government to raise that child? Absolutely not. We want to give our kids our values, our, you know, the principle, what we believe in, our religion. We want that freedom. That's why people are coming to this country.
Yep.
For this kind of freedom.
Absolutely.
But they are eliminating that, and that's why school choice is a threat on the monopoly of the teachers union and of all those entities that are benefiting from having our kids in those indoctrination camps, including what I consider to be education, the education industrial complex.
Absolutely. Now, Doctor, your organization, No Left Turn,
No Left Turn in Education.
They can find you, you know, very easily on the internet
website.
On the website, and can they support you as well, if financially?
We would love to. We're working in all the country. We have a wonderful chapter in the Bay Area in California, and we have chapter across the country. Many of them. Our website is noleftturn.us. noleftturn.us. We have Facebook, including for California. We have a Facebook for California. And if people want to start also new chapters, they are welcome to contact us, and we'll refer you to our chapter in California, which will help you set up chapters. And we already have the book as how to establish a chapter, what to do in day 1, 2, 3, and 4. We have tools. We develop policies. We develop legislation. We have a lot of things that we already have been doing in many states, and it is working very well.
Absolutely.
We welcome anybody to join, and please go. You can donate $5, $10, whatever. Also very important for me to stress, we're helping a lot of parents and teachers filing lawsuits. We work with major legal entities, and we have been filing lawsuits on behalf of teachers and parents and students across the country. So if you think you have a strong case, please contact us, and we'll help you.
All right. Thank
Beautiful.
You, Doctor.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
Amazing. She's great.
Yep. Thank you, and good night.
And thank you for calling in from Pennsylvania. Night.